So the lower your body fat percentage is, the more difficult it is to drop significant amounts of body fat. Because the leaner you get, the more important it is to preserve muscle mass, and the more your body's gonna fight back. Welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast. This is the podcast for every average individual who wants to achieve above average results and live an above average life while doing it all in an above average physique. You guys are going to hear me say that quite often because that's what we are passionate about at Tailored Coaching Method. That is our company. That is our philosophy. That is our way of living. It is everything tailored. This is the Tailored Life Podcast. And we are all about helping average people achieve above average things. That's like kind of been our motto. So you guys are going to, I was talking to somebody about this recently, so that's why I'm kind of saying it again. But whether you are a returning listener or a new listener, you're going to hear me say that quite often because it really is something we're very passionate about. Everybody on my team is the same way in the sense that that's who we are. That's what we do. We are everyday people who just don't want to be another everyday person. We don't want to do everyday things. We want to do above average things. We want to do amazing things. We want to do extraordinary things, not ordinary things. And we want to do it in an extraordinary body with extraordinary strength. And we want to do everything to the next level, right? But none of it was handed. It takes hard work. And that's what this show is about. So if you are a returning listener, thank you so much for coming back to the show and putting me in your headphones again. As always, I appreciate you listening. If you are a new listener, welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast. I'm excited to have you here. I hope that you get a lot of value. I know you're going to get a lot of value because all this podcast is about is delivering free content, free information, free coaching guidance, free education on training, nutrition, supplementation, fat loss, muscle growth, personal development, business, anything that we can do to help you grow as an individual. That's what we do on this podcast. That's what we talk about. And that's what I educate on. So I'm excited to have you here. And I'm excited to dive into today's questions. It is a Q&A podcast. So we're going to dive straight in. I am limited on time today. So we're going to keep this one to 40 minutes. Sometimes I say that and we go over, but I actually have a mentor meeting. So one of the things I do, most of you guys know this, but I am a coach. I think I'll always be a coach. I am a sports nutritionist and online trainer. So I coach people on fitness nutrition, but I also coach coaches. So I am an educator as well. It's usually done in the private format. So I have mentor clients who are gym owners, trainers, nutritionists, elite coaching athletes, or just really, really high level clients that want to learn more than just how to do it themselves. They want to teach other people, or they just want to know the ins and outs. They like to pick my brain. And so I do mentor calls, and they're kind of like glorified consult calls where I dive deep into different topics. So I have a group of trainers that I'm talking to today in my mentorship. And we're going to dive into some recomposition stuff actually with them. But because of that, I actually am going to keep this to 40 minutes because I have to. So that being said, we're going to get straight into the first question of today. The first question is from Nicole Gomez, and this hits home for me right now. So I can definitely talk on this one knowing that I am literally, what is it? Today is the 26th as I'm recording this of October. My show is the 5th. So I got 10 days away from getting on stage, just over a week. Crazy, super close. So Nicole's question is, how do you keep mental focus during work when in a cut? I am in month 3 of my cut and I'm due for a diet break at week 12. You're about to get your diet break here soon. Nice. I take 2 very helpful refeed days each week. I'm losing 0.5 pounds per week. That's a really good rate of loss, honestly. When I get hungrier, my body starts to fight me a bit and I get brain fog. Recently, I noticed that I'm getting headaches during the day and am not recovering as well for training. Is this something that I need to grind through? Should I increase calories? So this is kind of a loaded question and it kind of depends on quite a bit of things. So we're going to break this into segments, right? So the first part I want to answer, because I think it's just the easiest part to answer, is going to be the headaches. So recently you notice you're getting headaches during the day and you are not recovering as well for training. So if you're going through a fat loss phase, if you're going through a diet and you are beginning to get headaches or you are not recovering well enough for your actual training, there's a couple things that we need to look at. Number one is hydration. A lot of people underestimate the value of water intake during fat loss phase, really just during any kind of health plan in general. They forget how important and how influential water actually is. It seems like such a simple thing, right? You just drink enough water, right? And it is. It's pretty dang simple. But water is so important for your hydration, for filling your muscle bellies, for making sure that you don't get muscle cramps. It's very important for your eyesight. It's very important for your digestion. It's very important for your energy levels. It's very important for your metabolism. It's very important for your joint health and lubrication. I mean, water intake is so important. You don't just need it to survive. You actually need it to thrive, because all of these things that I'm talking about, they bank on you getting enough water throughout the day. So number one, make sure you're drinking enough water. Now, if you're somebody who's drinking, let's say, just for sake of easy numbers, a good recommendation is 3 liters a day, let's say, for the average size individual, which is a good amount of water, but it's a good place to sit at for a daily water intake, especially if you're training and you're dieting for fat loss and muscle growth, stuff like that. If you're consuming 3 liters of water plus a normal diet and you put yourself into a deficit, right? Not only are you losing mass, you're losing body fat, right? So that's going to lose some water, obviously. You're training, maybe you're doing some cardio, so you're going to lose some water through sweat and stuff. You're drinking water, obviously, but you're dieting. So if you cut calories, we have to also remember that there's going to be food that is going to reduce the water intake you have. And you're not tracking for that, because it's damn near impossible to track, and you shouldn't be that meticulous or worry about that, really. But my point with saying that is that if you're, for example, I don't know this off the top of my head, but I want to say like vegetables are like 60% water or something like that. There's a lot of water inside of vegetables. So a lot of water inside of fruit. There's actually a lot of water inside of even meat. So that's why when you cook meat, it reduces, if you weigh it cooked versus raw, you got to reduce the weight by 25% compared to raw, because it loses a lot of weight in the cooking process. So depending on how you cook something, it's going to lose water. Depending on what the food is, it's going to lose water too. If we cut calories, we're removing food. If we're removing food, we're removing water. This is just one of the contexts, right? If you're not tracking your water, you might not even realize you're not drinking as much water either. Another thing is that when we start to cut calories, we typically naturally cut sodium, only because sodium is attached to the food we eat or the condiments we add to the food. And if we're eating less food, we might be getting less sodium through the food and or through the seasoning or the sauces that we put on the food, because there's less food to put seasoning and sauces on. Starting to get to a tongue twister. Sodium helps you retain water in a good way. Because of this, we might be getting more dehydrated. So a lot of times I tell people that, hey, like if you're getting headaches during a diet, before you stress about, do I have to back out of the diet? Is it because I need to stop training? Drink more water and make sure you're salting your meals, and maybe even add an electrolyte supplement. So something I start every single day with is a First Form hydration stick. I love them. You can head to firstform.com/tailored-coaching-method. Shameless plug for our sponsor of the podcast, First Form, because we are sponsored by First Form as a coaching company. But I love them. The mango flavor is my go-to. It's amazing. I literally, when I wake up, I have a water bottle and a hydration stick waiting by the coffee pot for me. And so basically I walk out 5 a.m, pour my almond milk into my cup, put it in the microwave to heat up my almond milk, because I'm going to do my little coffee. And I mix that hydration stick up and I start chugging that while my coffee's getting ready, because I start every morning with that. It's a really good thing to do in the morning. It's going to help you with energy levels. It's going to help your thyroid, your nervous system, your brain function. So getting some sodium, getting some water. This is why a lot of people do like water with lemon and pink Himalayan salt in the morning, which tastes disgusting. It's really good for you, but I don't like just pure salt. I would rather have something like a hydration stick, which gives me the same benefits and has the sodium and the salt and the minerals and everything I need, but tastes way better, easier to drink. It's already packed for me, but that's a good example. So maybe add some electrolytes into your day. Make sure you're drinking enough water, salt your meals. Try that out first. It'll probably remove the headache, and most likely it's actually going to improve your performance too. Something I'll do with my clients who are more performance driven, either A, they want to perform better in the gym just to get a better pump, lift heavier weights, or they're a CrossFit athlete or an athlete of some kind where it's an actual sport that they're targeting, right? I will actually have them do this, or even just take like a pinch of salt, like a quarter teaspoon, half teaspoon at most, and just throw back some sea salt pre-training by like 30 minutes. You're going to get a stimulus to your nervous system. You're going to see an improvement in muscle function, muscle endurance, muscle preventing muscle cramps, so improving muscular endurance. it's going to help you a lot. It's really good for performance and it's good for a pump. You're going to get a better pump because there is a element of salt and sodium that helps transport glucose into the muscle cell. There's a function with sodium. This is why even for myself right now with where I'm at, I have 10 days left. So I'm basically in peak week. Peak week is like 2 weeks really for me. In every single meal, I'm adding two little packets of salt. My coach has me adding two packets of salt every single meal. I'm depleting carbs right now. So I'm like not eating any carbs. But as I ramp carbs up to front load, because we'll carb up at the beginning of the week and then taper down, we want the salt to be high because it's going to help me store the glycogen, the carbohydrates properly in the muscle. And so you don't need to be in a peak week for a physique competition like I am in order to utilize that as a way to just make sure you're staying hydrated and you're improving your performance. And so that's going to help with your recovery and your headaches for sure. The other thing is that if you're still training with as much volume as you were prior and you're 12 weeks, almost 12 weeks into a cut, like you're 3 months in, so you got to be at least 9 weeks into the cut, right? 9-10 weeks into the cut. I would say that you're probably, you know, being in month three, I would say it's probably time to reduce volume. If you've been dropping a half a pound a week and you're in month three, I mean, you're past 8 weeks. What is that? It's at least 4 pounds. You know, I don't know how much you weigh, how much you have to lose, but at the end of the day, it's a good amount of weight. Like you're losing weight, you're in a deficit. It's probably time that you lower volume a little bit. So that's just part of dieting. You shouldn't train with the same amount of volume from when you're at maintenance till all the way through the diet. You want to maintain as much volume as you can functionally, but you also don't want to keep doing so much that you can't recover anymore. It's kind of you're shooting yourself in the foot, right? You're burning the candle at both ends. It's not smart. So I would probably lower volume. I would definitely increase water intake, and I would probably add some salt to my meals or some kind of electrolyte supplementation, like I mentioned, to make sure you're getting the sodium, the minerals, the electrolytes, things like that in your day-to-day hydration toolkit, let's call it, or supplement kit. You do those things, that's going to help your recovery and your headaches, I can almost guarantee. Now, you ask the question of like, how do I keep mental focus during a cut? And then also, is this something that you need to grind through or should you increase calories? So look, like, should you increase calories? The answer to that is probably not, depending. I mean, if you're dieting for 12 weeks and you have a diet break coming up, I would say probably not. Finish it out. You know, at the end of the day, like, your training can lower volume. You're not trying to build muscle, like grind through it. Like if certain things need to be put on the back burner so you can finish your cut, that's what you should do. You set a goal to cut. You're being very successful at it. Don't let a little bit of brain fog and a little bit of headaches and a little bit of stuff like that ruin the progress you could be making or from you getting to the result. And I know that sounds like hardcore, like don't let a headache stop you, but a headache can be fixed. Like, you can take ibuprofen, of course, but there's also natural ways, like I just broke down, and you can lower your training volume to improve your recovery and still maintain all your muscle. So as long as you're getting your steps in and you're hitting your macros, you can lower training volume. You're going to feel better. It's going to give you more energy throughout the day, which is actually going to help you keep mental focus, probably sleep better. You're going to stay healthier and you're going to get to your end goal. So I don't think you should increase calories. Now, if somebody came to me and they're like, hey, I lost my period and my head is like pounding every day, I don't even want to train, I'm just miserable, I'm going to be like, okay, well, what's your goal here? Like, well, I just wanted to lose a little bit of weight. Okay. Do you have a timeline? No. Okay. Well, let's pull back for a little bit, right? Maybe we're being too aggressive. Maybe you need a diet break sooner than 12 weeks, right? What's the significance of 12 weeks, right? Some people don't need a diet break at all. You know, for me, I'm getting on stage. The way I feel right now, I would have pulled out. If I was just dieting, just a diet, I would have been like, yeah, I'm going to take a maintenance phase. There's just no reason to go this far. I feel my Brandon Whitehead, one of our head coach on our team, him and I were having a conversation yesterday, and he said, I remember being on prep and my limbs felt like elephant trunks, and it cracked me up. But I was like, damn, that's so true. Like, you just, your legs feel heavy, especially your arms feel heavy, and I shouldn't feel like that, but I'm getting on stage. That's due for the course, you know, it's just part of what it is. And you're just tired. So like there's certain extremes, but I'm doing it for the endeavor of sport, right? I'm doing this to try to get on stage and win a competition. It's totally different. So I think that there's levels to it. So is this something you should grind through and should you increase calories? I would say you probably shouldn't increase calories unless you want to take the diet break sooner and the goal isn't that important to you. And is this something that you need to grind through? Potentially, it just depends on the importance of the goal. Most of the time I would say yes. Like, we can take refeeds. You're doing two refeeds a week and still losing a half pound. I'd probably say you're fine. You just need to make sure that you're doing things properly in order to get sleep and keep your folks at work so it doesn't become too big of a burden, which is what I'll get into next, which is like, how do you keep mental focus? So for me, how do I keep mental focus during work when I'm in a cut? So there's a few things. One, I have ADHD really bad. So for me, like, my mental focus is always something I've always struggled with and really focused on working on. So I've developed a lot of really healthy, good habits to keep me focused and to eliminate distractions. And that's ultimately what it comes to, right? You got to eliminate distractions. I also think that you have to limit the fatigue you're getting elsewhere. So for me personally, I limit my schedule first and foremost. Once I really started feeling the effects of my prep and my cut, because you're asking me how do I keep mental focus, so I'm just going to tell you what I do and you can take that and run with it. And I give the same advice to clients when I work with them. When I start feeling the effects, the mental fatigue and the just diet fatigue from prep, that's when I started limiting my schedule. I started looking at the things that I do week to week and I'm like, okay, what are the mandatories? What are the like non-mandatories? What are the things that are like projects I'm working on? They don't need to be done anytime soon. Can we put those on the back burner? Can I delegate those to somebody on my team? Can I push those out till prep is done? Right? There's podcast interviews. There's some meetings for some projects I have for content creation, marketing, some projects on the back end that we're doing that I can't talk about. For TCM, Taylor Coaching Method, that I'm really excited about, that are mapped out, but I haven't even started the actual execution process on because I'm literally just waiting for the prep to be done. And so certain things I just go, okay, we have this mapped out and set in stone. Now the actual execution of it, I'm going to push off. My distraction elimination, what distracts me throughout the day, I'm going to put that away. How much do I have to post on social media? Right? Let me limit myself to that. How much sleep can I afford to get without missing out on work? Let me make sure that I double down on that sleep. Can I limit my schedule in certain areas so I don't have to do as much because things take me longer or I just don't want to feel like I'm failing? So first and foremost, like, let's eliminate distractions and limit our schedule as much as we can. Then we're going to look at the things that we can position throughout our day and throughout the weeks to make ourselves more productive, right? So for example, this week I did a little bit extra podcasting because it's not my final peak week. So I'm doing a couple extra podcasts like this because I know next week I'm going to do more written content because it's easier for me to just sit and type. So I can kind of front load some content, back load some other content, right? I also know that there's certain things that I can just do well that actually like revitalize me, which is crazy to say. But it takes me a lot to finally sit down and record the podcast right now. Like for me to gather the energy to sit down and start this takes more energy than when I get going. And I've become aware of that. And that's the big key here is, can you become aware of what takes the most energy, what doesn't, and when, like how to get in your best flow? So for me, it takes me a while because I like psych myself out and I say I'm tired and it takes me a minute to really like get into the like set up and everything. But once I start answering questions or I go off on a topic, it's like, I can't stop. I have energy and I can talk, right? So I can do a lot of that stuff later in the day, not so much. So I'm going to put that stuff in the morning. Same thing with early in the morning. When I wake up, have a couple cups of coffee, I'm pretty productive and I can be focused. So I'm going to do more of my work then. And then I'm going to do more of the email stuff later in the day. So I'm doing a lot of emails with clients and stuff closer to 1, 2, 3 PM towards the end of my day before I train, because I know I have less energy, I have less focus, but conversational emails are easy for me to do compared to creating content, doing meetings, thinking really hard about program design, stuff like that. So just positioning your day to really be focused on stuff, limiting your schedule, eliminating distractions, that's all you can really do, you know, and then just maximize sleep and lower training volume as needed. Again, if you fix the headaches, if you fix the recovery through training volume, stuff like that, I do think you're going to see carryover into your day to day to make sure that you're actually staying up with work, right? And then again, like drink caffeine. Like, I mean, I guess not again because I didn't say that yet, but there's nothing wrong with caffeine. When you're in a cut, you're probably going to need caffeine and it is what it is. So drink some caffeine. It's totally fine. I'm definitely drinking a lot of caffeine right now. So ultimately, like that's what I would suggest. I think that you're doing great. Keep going. You shouldn't increase your calories because you got a diet break right around the corner. You should grind through it, but just manage your schedule, manage your expectations for yourself, eliminate distractions and limit your schedule so that you can just get through the day. And when you do that, you're going to be able to coast through this and you're going to do just fine. And you're going to be able to reach your goal, which ultimately is what you're after, right? I don't want you to back off your goal because you're tired from a diet, when being tired during diet is kind of part of the diet. So really good question though. And it's obviously pretty relevant to me, given where I'm at right now in my prep. But yeah, so let's go on to the next one. Hey, sorry to interrupt this podcast, but I briefly want to mention my company, Tailored Coaching Method. I founded Tailored Coaching Method in 2017 as a way to help people lose weight, build muscle, and transform their lives, because I began to see that every other area of people's lives started to change and get better and be more successful when they got in shape and they felt better in their skin. And since then, I've built an entire team of world-class coaches who help people around the world transform right before our eyes. And because you're listening to this podcast, I got to imagine you want to get in shape too, or you're already in shape and you're looking to take it to the next level. Either way, we are the company for you. We specialize in body composition and we can help you no matter where you are in your fitness journey. So if you want help, you want expert coaching, and you want to finally get to the next level so you can start actually looking like you work out, head over to tailorcoachingmethod.com and click the big yellow button front and center on the screen, or simply go to the description of this podcast and click that link and apply today. The strategy call is completely free and it gives us a chance to get to know you, you a chance to get to know us. And by the end of it, we'll decide if it's a good fit and move forward. All right, let's get back to the show. This one comes from Mac Performance, Mac_Performance. Somebody I know closely. One of my previous clients. What up, Mac? Difference in leanness between your last photo shoot prep and your current contest prep. That's a really good one. Speaking of caffeine, let me chug some Rockstar. So just to provide some context here too, for everybody listening, I typically do a cut or a photo shoot every 1 to 2 years. You could get away with doing a photo shoot every year if once you get lean and like generally lean, not like shredded. Once you get lean enough to go through a mini cut and do a photo shoot, like you could, you know, shave off X amount of pounds and be lean enough to get in front of camera and feel good. You can do one once a year for sure and stay healthy. Getting on stage, you can't. I don't think you should get on stage once a year at most. I'm going to get back on stage in 2025 is my plan. So I'm going to spend basically the last couple, like I'll spend probably 6 weeks. So all of November essentially, and then a little bit into December, focusing on health. Basically the rest of this year, focusing on health after the show. And then all of 2024, focus on gaining. With I'm bringing on a coach for this, transitioning to somebody that I'm excited to work with, that I've been talking to, who is somebody who works with pros in the IFBB, NPC, like pro physique, bodybuilding, stuff like that. I'll have him on the podcast eventually soon too, but I really want to take it to the next level in this off season. So I'm excited about that, but I'm going to spend a whole year with him trying to put on a good amount of mass, probably do a couple mini cuts in there just to make sure I don't get overly fat, because we're going to gain weight, but I'm excited about it. And then we're going to plan out a prep for 2025. So as you can see, like I'm going to take a whole year out of a deficit. And so the last time I did a photo shoot was over a year ago. It was about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago. I want to say it was the summer of 2021 that I actually did the cut, maybe 2022. And the difference in leanness between my last photo shoot prep and my contest prep this time is, I mean, it's pretty simple. I'm leaner and I'm heavier, but that's the goal, right? Last time. So for context, I am 5'9" and so I'm not tall by any means. And I'm 100 in right now. I weighed in this morning at 165 pounds and I just did a DEXA scan and it told me I was 13 or 12% body fat, which is BS to be honest with you. And a DEXA scan has a 4% margin of error and it's still one of the more accurate ones. So I could have very well been 8%. I actually had a couple different, physique coaches and one, pro bodybuilder, people who follow me on Instagram actually responded to my story talking about it and said, there's no way you're easily, between 6% and 8%. And so that was cool to hear from them. And I agree. I don't think I'm actually at 12 to 13% body fat. According to the DEXA I did 5 or 6 months ago, I've dropped, a solid, 3% body fat, which is great. You know, and I actually maintained a good amount of muscle. I lost a little bit of mass, But again, it's hard to say because I'm also depleted. So if I were to carb up before, it would probably show more muscle mass, less fat, and that would drop my body fat percentage. Whereas last time I had plenty of carbs in the diet, which would help that. So there's a lot of nuance to it, but nonetheless, I would probably say I'm closer to 7 or 8% body fat, and I'm getting pretty lean. I'll probably shave off another couple pounds before getting on stage. I did my last photo shoot at 165 pounds, which is actually really cool. So the day of the photo shoot, like at my absolute lowest weigh-in, I don't know if I weighed in at 165 for my photo shoot because I was probably carbing up. I did carb up, so I was probably a little bit heavier. But like my leanest weight for my photo shoot last time was 165. The photo shoot I did before that was 2 years prior, which is 2019. So as you can see, every couple years, I was 160, 159, 160 at my leanest, my lightest weigh-in before that photo shoot. So I gained about 5 pounds between that photo shoot and the 2021 photo shoot. And I was probably the same leanness for those two. This one I'm weighing in right now at the same weight and I'm going through my depletion week. So I'll probably be a couple pounds lighter, 2 to 3 pounds lighter than I was in my last photo shoot for this competition. And I'm definitely leaner. Like I'm already leaner. I was leaner a couple weeks ago. So it's a really cool sign because again, in a year and a half, 2 years, I was able to put on a good amount of muscle. And the difference really here is my difference in leanness is that I just took it further this time. And also I would say this, like I think I dieted for a couple, it's probably been 2 or 3 extra weeks of dieting. I've also done more cardio this time for sure, because it's more aggressive. When you're getting on stage, it's a lot more aggressive approach. The thing I'm excited about for the next time is that this is going to be the first time I go into an off season after prepping for a photo shoot or getting on stage or anything like that, that I'm able to actually dedicate a lot of time and effort to my training like I haven't before, because our business and our company systems are delegated in a fashion that are way better. So this last off season between the photo shoot and this one, between moving HQ locations, really building out the systems on my team, developing the Taylor Trainer app, there was a lot going on that didn't allow me to give all of my effort into my gaining season. Whereas this time the app is completely done, which you can check out at thetaylortrainer.com, and get a 7-day free trial, hint, hint, plug, plug. And now that's done. So I have a developer on staff who is constantly working on it and updating, just different, you know, different things and improving it. And so there's a lot less back end work for me to do, outside of just program design, which is what I do, like the back of my hand, right? That's what I know. My general coaching, and then a lot of my team has stepped up because my team's amazing and I've delegated and I've built up my team, and now I have people in different roles and we have systems and structures. So like Taylor Coaching Method and the Taylor Trainer are just, they're running like machines. And so I'll be able to go into this off season and be like, okay, like I'm ready to truly prep and build my body and dedicate a lot of my effort. So I'm excited about that. And that was a big difference in this one too, is this one I did have a little bit more time, availability, and effort towards my prep than I did the last photo shoot, because I was still really busy during that last photo shoot prep. Whereas this one, I'm definitely busy. I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a dad and I'm a husband. Like I'm busy, trust me. But for me, I'm not as busy, right? For a lot of everyday people, I'm extremely busy, but that's how I live my life. That's how I like to be. But I do have more time, and I have less social obligations. I have less work obligations because I've delegated and I've built out the team and our systems and everything so much. So the difference in between the photo shoot last time and the contest prep this time is I have more time to put effort towards my physique this time. And it's going to be even more so that way, because I was still developing the app for the first part of this prep. I was finishing it out and launching it and stuff. So this next off season is going to be all systems go. I'm very excited about it. But nonetheless, the biggest difference is I had more time, and so I was more aggressive. So more cardio, my carbs and calories in general dropped lower this time to get to this level of leanness. And there was a lot more focus on the tiny details of meal prep and of hydration and of supplementation and of obviously posing practice, stuff like that. And then of course cardio. So yeah, I'm definitely leaner. I'm probably, like I said, I'm easily probably like 1 or 2% body fat lower, which is pretty significant when you get this lean. And I am about 5 pounds heavier, which is going to be really exciting. So, or I'm sorry, I'm not 5 pounds heavier. I'm the same weight right now. So I'll probably be like 3 pounds heavier or 3 pounds lighter. How do I say this? I'll probably be 2 to 3 pounds lighter or the same, depending on how the carb up goes, but leaner. So I definitely have put on muscle. So nonetheless, my goal for 2025 is to be a solid 5 to 10 pounds heavier on stage, which is a lot. That's a big amount of weight. But if I could step on stage 5 to 10 pounds heavier next time, that would be a success for sure. Okay. So Tony.Cristodolo. Probably butchered that, man. Sorry. I started my cut at 25% body fat and my goal is to get down to 9% body fat. I just measured 17% recently and I'm 3 weeks into the cut. That's really good. I don't know how you tested it. We just got done talking about that, but that's 8%. So regardless, that's a good amount of weight, body fat to lose. And I'm 3 weeks into this cut, especially in 3 weeks. That's significant. So I'm just going to be honest, that's probably not totally accurate. But again, all body fat testing has a huge margin of error. I'm going to post something on Instagram here soon. If you haven't seen it, we just did a video on body fat testing and it's pretty crazy how inaccurate some of them are. And I have a blog on it too. If you haven't checked that out, go to tedcoachingmyth.com/blog and type in body fat testing. It shows you how inaccurate they all are. But again, it's trends. So if you test it the same way with the same tool at the same time of day, the same day of the week next time, and it's, in 3 more weeks and you're at 16, 15, 14%, that trend is what matters. So it doesn't matter if you really aren't 25 to 17%. Maybe it was 28 to 20, or maybe it was 23 to 16. It doesn't matter. If the trend's going down, that's all that matters. Anyway, my total timeline plan was 12 weeks, which means I have 9 weeks left. Is it doable to reach my goal in this time frame? So basically, you have 9 weeks left of a cut, and your goal was to get down to 9%. If we look at just how much you lost in 3 weeks, it probably is. The problem is that we can't estimate. It's all relative because look at like going from 25 to 17% is easier than going from 17 to 11%, right? And those are both, what is that? So actually that's even less. So 25 to 17% is 8% body fat. That's easier to do than going from 17 to 9%, which is another 8%. So the lower your body fat percentage is, the more difficult it is to drop significant amounts of body fat. Because the leaner you get, the more important it is to preserve muscle mass, the less total body fat you have to lose, and the more your body's going to fight back. Because the leaner and leaner you get, the more resilient your body's going to be to this change. Because at the end of the day, your body doesn't want to get leaner and leaner and leaner over time. At first it does, because having a bunch of excess body fat and weight is not advantageous. It's not helpful to your health. It's not helpful to your physique. It's not helpful to your survival. But at a certain point, it is. That is your survival. So my point with that is that as you get leaner, your body's going to fight back more. So generally, fat loss gets slower the longer you go on. Same reason why muscle growth gets slower the longer you go on. And it's harder to build muscle as you get bigger, as you get stronger, as you get more experienced. Because at the end of the day, if you put pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds of muscle on your frame, it's inefficient. Your body's heavier now. It has more tissue to try to maintain and take care of, and it can't move as agile, right? It's not as flexible. It's not as it's not going to be able to endure as much. It's very taxing tissue. So it's difficult to maintain. So it basically your body wants homeostasis. So it's going to be more difficult as you go. That's point number one. Point number two is to answer it specifically and say, like, is it doable to reach my goal in this time frame? And for me to say yes or no is very difficult simply because it depends on like your body weight more than your body fat percentage. It's very difficult to calculate how much body fat percentage you could lose per week because, again, it depends on how lean you are. It depends on how much muscle mass you have. It depends on your metabolic history and your current metabolic state. It depends on your experience level in general, how long you've been cutting. So if you've been cutting for 3 weeks versus 9 weeks versus 12 weeks versus somebody who came to me with dieting for 20 weeks or somebody who hasn't dieted in 20 weeks, but prior to that, they dieted for 24 weeks or somebody who hasn't dieted in 12 weeks, but prior to that dieted for 10 weeks, like all of these things change, you know, your stress levels, all those things change how much body fat you can lose. But the easiest way for us to predict is by your weight. So the one thing I can say is that you can probably lose anywhere between 0.5 to 1.5% of total body weight per week. And that's a good way to gauge it because that is possible. It's an easy way to calculate it. And as long as you're in a deficit, those other variables I already mentioned, they do impact this still, but they impact the deficit. And what I mean by that is if you are very experienced, if your body's going to be more resilient to the deficit, if your body's going to be put up a tough time to lose fat, if you're highly stressed, you're not getting sleep, you just got done dieting, all those things I said, if those things are all true, that's okay. That's going to make the deficit, the requirement of a deficit, more aggressive. So the biggest issue is going to be adherence. Not necessarily that you can't lose that weight. It's just like, hey, if those things are in place or those things are the reality, you might need to be in a bigger deficit, which is harder to adhere to. It's not that it's impossible. It's not that those things make it more difficult for you to lose weight necessarily. It means, or it does, but it does by your body being more stubborn, which means you need a bigger deficit. So it doesn't make it impossible. It means that it's going to be difficult to lose weight only because it's going to be harder to adhere to, not because your body won't do it, right? So the further we get, the harder your body's going to fight back, essentially. And I say all of that to say that if the best answer I can give you is to look at your total weight, not your body fat percentage, look at your total weight and then calculate 0.5 to 1.5, which is basically 1% of body weight. So if you're 200 pounds, that's 2 pounds a week. Can you get there by 9 weeks? Well, it depends. How much weight do you have to lose left? If you have, 9 times 2, if you have 18 pounds to lose and somebody was like, hey, I'm 200 pounds. I want to lose. I have, this much weight to lose in 9 weeks. Like, can I do it? If I want to lose 15 more pounds in 9 weeks, I'd say, yeah, you can. Because technically if we lost 1% of body weight per week, you'd be losing 2 pounds a week right now as you get lighter. So once you're 190, that's only 1.9. But if we look at the 0.5 to 1.5 range, you're still going to be able to hit that, right, by the end of 9 weeks. So most likely the answer is yes. But again, because 9 weeks is a good amount of time. But again, it's going to come down to your weight, not your body fat percentage. So that's the biggest way to calculate the weight you can lose. Not how much body fat percentage can I lose per week, but how much body fat pounds can I lose per week? How much weight can I lose per week? All right, we're going to move into the last question of today from Sam. That's it. Do you believe that weight loss resistance is a real thing? This is a good question. I was just talking to a different mentor client of mine. He was asking me about essentially body settling points, body fat set points, and his clients wondering if they can reset that. And it's a similar topic, right? Because if weight loss resistance was a true thing, then if we wouldn't be able to reset our body fat to an extent. So do I believe that weight loss resistance is a real thing? Well, in some senses it is. If we look at the medical literature on metabolic resistance and insulin resistance, then yeah, there is a time where it can be a thing. But at the same time, there's a lot of instances where it's not a real thing. It's more, I wouldn't say resist. I guess it depends on how you define resistance. So how do we define resistance? I mean, like, let's look that up real quick. I guess I should know how, like, what what is resistance? Resistance is the refusal to accept or comply with something, the attempt to prevent something by action or argument. Then I would say yes, I think it is a real thing. And the reason I had to look that up is because I think there's a difference between resistance, which is the act of trying to stop something from happening, versus something unable to happen. So somebody saying that I have weight loss resistance, which means I cannot lose weight, I think that's inaccurate. There's metabolic resistance, there's insulin resistance. These things make it very difficult to lose weight, for sure. It doesn't mean you can't lose weight. Weight loss resistance makes it very difficult to lose weight. And it could be a number of things. You can have issues with leptin and ghrelin hormones. You can have issues with insulin. You can have issues with your metabolism. So you can have metabolic resistance. It could just be a psychological aspect, right? You could have a very difficult time adhering to the diet. You could have there's genetic reasons why people have faster metabolisms. And that means that their hunger is going to be higher. So the typical deficit that somebody needs to take go into to lose fat, or if they have a really adaptive metabolism, essentially, or really high hunger cues, it's going to be more difficult for them to lose weight, right? And so we have to pull out more tricks like food volume tricks and water and rest and lowering volume and things that are going to mitigate the hunger responses so that we can just adhere to the diet. So are they actually resistant of weight loss, or are they mentally struggling to lose weight because it's very difficult for them to adhere to a diet because of their lifestyle, because of their genetics, because of their hormones, because of their hunger, whatever it may be, lifestyle, all those kind of things, right? So I do not believe weight loss resistance is a real thing from a perspective of you can't lose weight. I think weight loss resistance is a cop out. I think it's an excuse. I think it's people saying that I can't lose weight because something's wrong with me. I have weight loss resistance. That is like 99.9% of people do not have something like that. You can lose weight. Some people, it's very difficult. So if we look at weight loss resistance as the literal definition of resistance, which is the act of trying or attempting to stop something from happening, then yeah, there's going to be mechanisms in your body psychologically, physically, and physiologically that make it difficult for somebody to lose weight versus another person. We all know people that lose weight really easily, and we know people who struggle to lose weight. Both of those people are going to be in individual circumstances, and a lot of it is genetically predisposed. And that could be, and not necessarily because your genetics from your family history is bad, but just you individually might have something going on, physiologically speaking or psychologically speaking, that makes it difficult. Be that your lifestyle, be that your sleep schedule, your stress levels, be that the type of training you do, be that your genetics literally, be that embedded in your DNA, be that some hormonal stuff going on. There's a lot that could be happening that make it difficult for you to lose weight. And that is a type of resistance because your body is fighting against you, right? And the leaner you get, the harder it is for you to lose weight. Like I said before, so weight loss resistance does creep up as you lose more weight and you're trying to get leaner and leaner and leaner, especially if you're trying to get shredded like I am for stage, for example. But is that really resistance or is that difficulty, right? So your body has, again, homeostasis is what it's after. And when you get past a certain point, you're fighting against homeostasis. And that's what your body is trying to push you to prevent and stop you from doing. But I don't believe that's a literal terminology called weight loss resistance where somebody cannot lose weight. That's not a thing. The thing that's just happening here is your body can fight back in numerous ways, and it can be difficult for you to lose weight because of all these different individual factors and limitations, but it does not make it impossible. And that's really the take-home point. I do not believe weight loss is impossible for anybody. I think everybody can accomplish it. For some people, it takes more than what they expect or what they are willing to do. And sometimes rightfully so. There's plenty of people who cannot lose weight because what it takes for them to lose weight is just too difficult. Like they might have a little bit of weight loss left to lose, but they have to crank up their activity level so high or drop their calories so low or spend a solid year or two recovering any hormonal issues that might be causing this from happening. And they don't have the patience to do that either. And so sometimes it's about weighing out, is this worth doing what's required to get me to the result I'm after? And if the answer is no, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a personal decision and we can't judge that. But the people who just don't want to do the work or they use that as a cop-out, I don't agree with that. Everybody can lose weight. I've seen a lot of people who come to us that say they've tried everything, they've done it all, their metabolism is slow, their hormones are fighting against them, they can't lose weight no matter what they do, and we help them lose weight still because weight loss resistance isn't a thing from a perspective of impossibility. It's a thing from difficulty. So that would be my answer to that. So I hope that helps that question. We're going to wrap it up right there. As always, guys, I appreciate you so much for listening. I'm so grateful to have this podcast and have this platform and just be able to get in front of so many people to help them better their lives, better their bodies, better their health, get leaner, get more muscular, and achieve their goals and just improve more in life from a personal perspective. And that's what this podcast is about. So I hope you are listening and you are growing and you are becoming above average and living an above average life. So if you liked the show, if you enjoyed the show, if it gave you value, please go do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify. Go leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. We want to crank those up as we get closer to 1,000 episodes. It helps us more than I can say. Make sure you share this with a friend. And as always, I appreciate you guys listening. I will catch you next time.